I may be touched, but at least there was no risk of me getting sunstroke this summer. For even though it's been the coldest summer since 1993, I've been taking absolutely no chances. As an extra precaution, I've spent most of it lying underneath my boat sheltering from those harmful UPVC rays. Now this has all kinds of advantages compared with actually sailing a sailfish. For a start, there's more headroom and it's carpeted. I chose a remnant of purple, orangey, browny, swirly shag to complement the sailfish's 1970s ambience. Add a lava lamp and it would look like a set for a Man About the House TV special or some other no expense spent TV series involving large rounded collars, polyester and crimpling. Most weekends, I roll up at Malden Yacht Club in my old Volvo 240 estate, roll out my remnant and settle in under my boat while Bart chases rabbits and barks randomly at everything. The tide rises, the tide falls, and as the Blackwater floods, the river starts to come alive with barges, yachts and dinghies. At the sound of the clacks and squadrons of multi-hull neoprene ninjas start impaling each other and mounting the banks at illegal motorway speeds. This is on account of a class rule that states you have to wear reflective wraparound shades with the reflective bit on the inside. It's a riot of colour out there and a wonderful rich pageant of river life, all viewed upside down from under my sailfish. And then a shadow looms, a pair of upside down legs appear hanging from the grass. It's Pat, one of Morden Yacht Club's greatest treasures, with a cup of tea for Bart and a dog biscuit for me. I turn right way up and wake from my reverie. Does life get any better, I wonder? Pat's taken pity on me because she thinks I'm actually toiling away on my boat while everybody else is out on the water having fun. Truth be told, I'm actually enjoying myself too, but I don't want to let on. I've put a lot of effort into perfecting an air of abject, woe is me, me boat's broke, desolation. It means I get more cups of tea from Pat. What I'm supposed to be doing is plugging these little holes in the rubbing band along the centre line of the boat. I've been reading a lot of PBO technical articles, and although they're a little bit technical for me, the main thrust seems to be that holes aren't good. However, in reality, I'm mostly idling, slacking, and occasionally dozing off. And it's delicious. In fact, I've discovered quite an aptitude, and if I'm really honest with myself, I'm actually dragging things out. And that's where Chandlers can come in handy. Like all sailors, I do everything I can to avoid spending money with billionaire Chandlers. Quite often this involves first spending more money on something inappropriate from somewhere else, then buying something even more expensive and even more inappropriate from the Chandlery. It's the way of the sea. And that's how come I'm trying to plug the holes with splodge from a car accessory shop that creates a waterproof gasket at 300 degrees centigrade. What with global warming, melting polar ice caps, and the bloke in the car accessory shop being so plausible, I thought it would be just the stuff. Turned out it was useless, but expensive, so after smearing it all over myself and Bart, I had a little lie down under my boat. Next up, I bought even more expensive stuff that the bloke in the Chandler's said was the biz, cautioning me that if I used cheaper stuff, I would surely die. He'd been on a sales training course, you see. This stuff was a deck caulking system from a well-known company, but the really curious thing about it was that the instructors said, and I quote, not to be used for deck caulking applications. That involved a bit more of a lie down, but as I wasn't caulking the deck, I thought it might do, and it did. But as it comes in a tube the size of a baby's arm that had to be used all at once within 5 seconds of opening before setting like concrete, the process was a little bit fraught. And that, of course, entailed another lie down. And on odd occasions, when I wasn't actually lying under my boat, I placed a pair of boots underneath to make it look like I was. Yet, eventually, despite all my delaying tactics, I had to admit that Marlin was actually ready for launch. I was going to miss Pat's tea, the timeless scenes of tidal comings and goings under the magical scudding Essex skies, the wading birds picking at the margins of the glistening mud, and Bart's rabbit-baiting antics. A boat on the water is one thing, but ashore, in an idyllic spot, there's little that offers a better opportunity for contented reflection. I used to wonder why some boats never touch the water. Now I know. Their owners are pottering, and that's another of the great joys of sailing. A sailfish is a great little boat that also makes a great potting shed. Or should that be pottering shed?